We get this description of the furnishings and how-tos, and we don't do it today. What's it to us today? But there is a good message in there for us today. So we're going to look at that. So we're going into the single largest passage of Exodus. It really goes from 25:1 to about 39:31. And there's only one little break. And that whole time, it's a straight passage of how to do the tabernacle, what to put into it, exactly how to make everything, what it should be made out of. For us, you say that's boring stuff. But it's a long passage, and the only break in it is the story of the golden calf. Otherwise, it runs straight through. Now, in the last Torah portion, Mishpatim, you may remember that they were the instructions on how to act. And as we said during our Torah for today, they were instructions on how to build a society. They were coming out of Israel. They were kind of scattered. They were slaves to the Egyptians. And they weren't a real society. So our last Torah portion taught them how to be a society. All the rules on how to interact with each other, basically. How to be that society. How to be that nation. And it set them apart from those around them. Next, now, we have the details of how to build the sanctuary for the Lord. And it was very detailed. And it had to be very detailed because it had to be perfect. It had to be just so because it was the place for the Lord. We have the whole list of what they were to bring. And it was a fairly specific list. And it was a list of only the best. Only bring the best to the Lord. Had to be acceptable. Had to be the best. Exodus 2:1 tells us that it was not only with the best they had, but it had to be items that were freely given. Let's take a look at Exodus 1 and 2. Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, "Tell Bnei Israel to take up an offering for me. From anyone whose heart compelled him, you are to take my offering." For anyone whose heart compelled them. It was a free will offering. It speaks a lot to who the Lord is and who we should be towards the Lord. He wants a free will offering to build tabernacle, the sanctuary. And it's much the same as with us today. He still wants a free will offering from us. He doesn't want to force us to be one of his people. He doesn't want to force us on how to act. Now, there are a lot of people who say, "Yeah, but you know, once I was saved," and I see this in people, they're saved, and then all of a sudden they start acting in a certain way. They changed. But it's not because the Lord forced them to change. It was because they felt compelled to change in order to please the Lord. But it was their desire to change that caused the change. It wasn't the Lord going with a screwdriver, "Let me just adjust them a little bit here." That's not it. It's a free will offering. It's a free will change of our heart. So we see this parallel here. The people of Israel were giving freely of what they had. And they were giving freely what was the best that they had. Remember, they were given things as they were leaving Egypt. The ladies of Egypt were giving them the gold, giving them the silver, and giving them the materials that would later be used for the tabernacle. Probably also, you know, while they were on the road, they probably ran into some traders, you know, caravans, and they were probably trading. Now, what would you trade for if you found a trader? "Oh, that's pretty. That's the best I've ever seen. I'm going to buy that with what I've got. But then later on, it went to go to make the tabernacle. So they were giving all the time. They were giving their best in order to build the sanctuary. And they had to give the best. Of course, as Rabbi Jude said, it had a very important purpose. It was where the Lord was going to come down and meet the Israelites. It's where he would reside, it says. It's where the sacrifices were going to be made. It was very important. It was not just a building. It was not just a tent. It was very special for a very specific purpose that had to be perfect for the Lord. It was the place the Lord was going to reside. It was his house. Bless you. But here's my question. How does one house hold all the Lord? He's the Lord who fills the universe. But we've built him one small sanctuary to reside in. It's a question. Scripture tells us over and over again, he's big. Psalm 139:8. I'm going to go through a couple of scriptures just to press the point. The Lord is the Lord. What could hold such a magnificence? Psalm 139:8-10 says, if I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there too. Look, you are there too. If I take wing of the dawn and settle on the other side of the sea, even there your hand will lead me. Your right hand will lay hold of me. Imagine, if I go to heaven, there you are. If I go to hell, there you are. If I go across the sea, there you are. Yet, we're going to contain him in this little sanctuary. Isaiah 66:1. The next one that we're going to look at. Heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. Where then is the house you would build for me? Where is the place of my rest? Heaven is your place. The earth is but a footstool. How can we build for him that it's going to contain him? And finally, Jeremiah 23:23-24. I am God only when near. It is a declaration of Adonai. And not God when far off? Can anyone hide himself in places so secret that I will not see him? Do I not fill heaven and earth? It is a declaration of Adonai. Am I a God only if you're near and not far off? He is omnipresent. It doesn't matter. He's here. Wherever you're watching on the live stream, he's there. Right now, he is everywhere. He occupies all space and all time. So they built a sanctuary, and God did inhabit it. We read in Exodus 39:42 that God did come down. Moses looked at everything, and then God came down. I'm going to read two passages, Exodus 39:42-3. Once the work was done, Moses reviews and accepts it all. I'm sorry, that's my, it's like saying stage right. I'm reading my own notes, sorry. Whew. So, here's the passage. According to everything that Adonai had commanded Moses, Bnei Israel had done all the work just so. When Moses saw the entire work and that they had done it just as Adonai had commanded, Moses blessed them. Next thing that happens, Exodus 40:34-35. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of Adonai filled the tabernacle. Moses was unable to enter into the tent of meeting because the cloud resided there, and the glory of Adonai filled the tabernacle. Adonai came down and filled this little place. Filled it to a point where Moses couldn't even enter into it. Filled it to the point that that everyone who saw it knew the glory of God was there. So was that the purpose of building the sanctuary? To build this tent so that Adonai can fill it, and that was going to be the only place he was going to be? But that was not the purpose. There was a purpose. So let's look at Exodus 25:8 to find our purpose. Because there was a purpose for filling this tabernacle that says Adonai is going to occupy, but we know can't contain all of the Lord. 25:8. Have them make a sanctuary for me. This is the Lord saying to Moses, so that I may dwell among them. Shechan Tavach are the words used for dwell among them. Shechan says to dwell or settle down or to tabernacle with him, with them. So, okay, the Lord's going to tabernacle among them, Tavech, in the midst or in the middle. Now, maybe I'm stretching it, but when I think of the Lord dwelling in the midst or the middle of me, it's here in my heart. That's the middle of me. So make a tabernacle so I may dwell in the midst of them. It's so that he can dwell in the middle of each one of us. See, the previous portion, as I said, where they were building up people, it was the societal laws to build them into a nation. And then many people look and they say, okay, that's done. Next step, we're going to build a sanctuary for the Lord. But perhaps it's not really that. Maybe it's not two steps. Maybe it's the Lord gave us the rules to build the society, and now this next step in building this society is to build up the people by having them build a sanctuary so that I may reside, may I dwell, I may tabernacle within them. See, the Lord built the people up through the people building the sanctuary. He wasn't really having the people build a tabernacle just so that he can dwell in something that can't contain all of him. He was having them build a sanctuary so that they would learn the principles so that he could live within them, within individuals. Because the Israelites followed the directions on how to build a tabernacle, it says the Lord came down and filled the tabernacle. When we follow the Lord's commandments, we can be sure that the Lord will come down and by his Ruach dwell within us. 1 Corinthians 3:16 is a verse you probably all know. Let's take a look at it. And this was Rav Shaul speaking to the Corinthians. It was obviously after the temple was destroyed. And 3:16 says, "Don't you know that you are God's temple and that the Ruach Elohim dwells among you?" Dwells among you. You know, sort of like dwelling among them. Same kind of thing. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 6:16, he goes a little further to the writing to the Corinthians. And it says, "What agreement does God's temple have with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. And I will be the God, and they shall dwell, and they will be my people. He says that God will dwell in them. And the word there is enokino, enoikino. Okay, so my Greek's not so great there. But it does mean to dwell in them. That's what Paul is trying to say. God dwells. You are the temple, and God dwells within you. Even though, he was saying, even though the temple was destroyed, a physical temple was destroyed, there is a spiritual temple that still stands. And this spiritual temple still stands in each and every one of us who accepts Messiah as Yeshua. See, now there are two thoughts. I want to just take a little moment here. There are two thoughts that I read this week when I was looking through this that I wanted to bring out. It's very interesting. And there's a Talmudic myth by Rabbi Itzhak Luria. He's a mid-1500s rabbi. And he says, before anything was created, God filled all space. Right? Think about the universe. God filled it all. There was nothing there, but God filled it all of it. Nothing else could fit because he filled it. Think of it as when he came down to the sanctuary. He filled the sanctuary. Moses couldn't even go in because God filled it all. Same thing. God fills the universe. Nothing else can fit. So in order to make room for the universe when he created it, he had to contract a little. He had to make room. And this is known as zimzum. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Zimzum. It means drawing in. In order to make room for the universe to be created, God had to draw himself in a little bit so that now there's a space for all of the universe. And we do the same thing. We have to make room for the Lord in us. So what do? We say, Lord, less of me, more of you. We contract ourselves to make room. Or we give of ourselves. We take what we have and we give of ourselves so that there's room for Adonai within us, the Ruach HaKodesh within us. Another rabbi, much later, in fact, he wrote this in 1987, so only about 30 years ago, Pinchas H. Pilel, says about the Israelites and their giving, he says, besides the immediate purpose of the campaign to collect materials for the building of the sanctuary, it also served an educational purpose to convert the people, the Israelites, from passive participants in their relationship with the Lord as constant recipients of his gifts to active partners. By giving, the Israelites were going from passive receiving all the time to becoming active partners with the Lord. Now, how many of us want to be active partners with the Lord? I don't want to just sit there and have the Lord just think that the Lord is going to be giving and giving and giving. Think of it. If you knew somebody and all you did was give, 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 and they were not a partner, would you stay with them? We want to be active partners with the Lord. He gives us to do something for him. We reach out with what he gives us. He gives us because we give him. We give him of ourself. We give him of our best, and thus making room for him within us. The Israelites gave freely in order to build the sanctuary, freely and of their best. And so should we. So here's my question. Do we give freely of the Lord? Or, more importantly, ask yourself, do I give freely of the Lord? Do I give my time? Do I give my skills? Do I give my tithe to the Lord freely? Not because I feel like I have to. This is not a message meant to say, give more, give more, give more. This is a message that's meant to say, give more joyfully to the Lord. Give more freely, to joyfully to the Lord, because then he'll give more freely to you. So we're building a sanctuary here at Karen Orr, not just with our tithing, but by the way we give freely. By the way we give our time, by the way we give our talents, our skills, and by our attitude. Very important. We build by our attitude just as much. And you know, if you're talking to someone about Karen Orr, and it's, I go there, I sit there, they give an okay message, and you know, the Bible says I should tithe. People going to follow you? I don't even want to follow me. I give freely and I give joyfully. I want you to give freely and I want you to give joyfully. Come into the sanctuary with joy. Live streaming. Read your word. Watch the messages with joy. Those who come here, give freely. Take time. Lord, I'm not asking because we need more money. I'm asking because I want you to. It's for you. My last word about tithing, 1 Corinthians 29:9. And it says, when the people rejoiced over their free will offerings because with a whole heart they offered willingly to Adonai, King David also rejoiced with great joy. They gave with a whole heart. They gave willingly, free will. And King David rejoiced. I look at this and I say, when we give, our King rejoices. Karen Orr doesn't rejoice. Our King rejoices. Here's what I'd like you to take out of this. Our Lord had our people, thousands of years ago, build a sanctuary in order to build them into a people of God. That principle is the same today. When you put your time, efforts, and gifts into the temple of God, You're building up a sanctuary of God within yourself. So what do we do today? We look inwardly and we ask, are we working against ourselves and against God by not being joyful in giving all to the sanctuary that you have within you? Do you have your life prioritized correctly so that your relationship with the living God can flourish? When your priorities are off, your relationship with God cannot and will not flourish, cannot and will not grow past where you currently are, and may even slide back. Many people prioritize, and they think they have their priorities right, but they're putting that newer, bigger, better car. I can't wait to buy that one. They're looking for that newer, bigger, better house. I really want that. They're looking to, I'm going to that new restaurant. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And it's okay if your priorities are right. If you're putting God first, that's what we should be getting out of this. Worship team, could you come up, please? That's where we are. The Israelites followed the commandments in the portion Mishpatim and then continued to grow in this portion. In this portion, they were growing, not by just following a bunch of commandments on what to give, but they were growing with the commandments of how to give. It's just as important. They were building a sanctuary in the correct way. And because they built the sanctuary, because they built the sanctuary in the correct way, the Lord came down. I asked earlier, how can the Lord occupy a single little tent in the desert? Because he's the Lord, he can. And because he's the Lord, he can occupy the sanctuary and the hearts of all of the Israelites and now the hearts of each one of us. So let's take a moment to look inside of ourselves now and ask the Ruach to help us to build the sanctuary within us, to make us joyful, to look, to see, do we have our priorities correct? Have we put everything above God, or have we put God above everything? Are we holding on to something? Do we have that habit of looking at things that and then say, that's what I want? Or do you have a habit of saying, I am so satisfied with God that I know if I need it, he'll give it to me? We need to make sure our priorities are right. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to open up the front area here. I'm going to ask Rabbi Jude to come on up. And he and I are going to pray over you. Maybe you have your priorities right. And you just want to thank him for that. Maybe you feel like your priorities are right. But you know that God is a God that searches every corner of the heart. And you just want to say, God, search me. Find the things that I don't know so that I can have all things in the right priority. Father, we just thank you that you're a loving God. We just thank you that you've made yourself known to us. We just thank you that we can put things in the right priority. You above all else. Father, we just want to search our own hearts now. And we're looking for those things that are hidden even to us, but not hidden from you. Those things that are trying to vie for your time and my attention, that would put themselves over you. Father, put your spotlight into my heart and show me those dark places that sometimes I don't even want to look into, so that I may know what it is that I need to push down. Those things that I may not even recognize as being within me. Father, by your Ruach HaKodesh, I desire you to occupy the sanctuary within each one of us. Ruach, fill this sanctuary. Fill the sanctuary of our hearts, pushing out everything that's not of you. Father, I just thank you. I thank you that you're loving and merciful, that when you do find those things in those dark corners, that I can trust in you, that you'll not punish, but you'll mercifully remove them and move them out of me so that I may be moored for you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that you give us hearts to respond to your message. Thank you, Father God, that we can open our hearts to you without fear, and open our hearts to you that we know that we can trust you. Amen. Amen.